Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
My dad's not here right now. He's still at work. So I'm going to bless him.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'm going to see if there's a clean version so then my parents and the people at my school will not get mad at me. We've got the spritzer filled with water just in case if stuff gets too fire. I'm going to set up the speaker and I'm going to listen to
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think this is the best
Mike Shope
feature that I've heard in a long time. I think his flow is really good on it, and I like his aggressiveness on it. And
the Bulldog
put not enough effort in it. I think overall his flow was good, but I don't like that mumble rapping. That was my review of
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Didn't need the spritzer. Wasn't fire enough. No spritzer for you. No spritzer.
Okay, Robert Kraft, how do you guys want to do this? I'll say this first, and I think you'll agree. The story is terrible. Like,
yeah,
this being a real thing is just disgusting, and I think I should be able to say something like, I can't believe it exists in this country, but I can't really bring myself to say that, because I can believe it.
Right.
But people who are basically owned like that, women right. who are brought to America and then owned like that, is abhorrent. Robert Kraft, it's also, what do we think? And now I'm just saying like two things in a row.
It's okay. What am I going to do? I disagree with you. It's not abhorrent.
You think you're fine with it?
Yeah.
I would like to have some fun at his expense, too. Like, I think as terrible as it is, I mean,
I have a hard time having fun because of it. I guess the human trafficking, not that like people in, like women working in sex rings, if they're not enslaved, are in a good place in their lives, and that should open the thing up for ridicule all the more. I don't know that that really measures up. And I don't know that I really want my name on that either, but I'm struggling with some of what, I mean, you know, it's not surprising, you know, Twitter can be a cesspool, but there's even some mainstream people that I would say that I don't always agree with, but I at least have a level of respect for, that are like laughing and making jokes about the Tuck rule and just different things. And I don't know. I don't feel good laughing at any of that right now, because of the enslavement part of the story. So, like, he didn't have to know any of that. And, you know, he is a 70-year-old guy that went and, you know, solicited sexual favors.
Yeah, I guess that's right, isn't it? Like, we don't know the answer to that yet.
Right.
What he knew he was doing.
I mean, I imagine if it is possible to prove that he had any knowledge of the depth of what the operation he was partaking in was really like, then he would absolutely lose his football team.
Did you see the, you think?
Yeah.
Did you see the picture of the place?
I saw a picture
It's so Florida.
Of people posing outside it.
Okay.
Which,
it's so like in a strip mall. It's just like it looks like it's in a strip mall.
Right, yeah.
You ever been to a place like that?
No, I never have.
I've
been to strip joints, but I've never been to a massage parlor, day spa. No, never have.
I was on a trip to South Florida like 2005, maybe. What year did I see the Sabres there? 2007 with my wife and another couple. And I don't remember too many details, but I know we were like at a strip mall somewhere down there, like in Lauderdale or someplace. And it was just so incredible, like, what was in the strip mall. It would be places like this, like spas or whatever. Like, there was a casino. If my friend Greg is listening, he will remember. Because he and I, we're at a strip mall
casino.
Yeah, where you'd expect to see like a dollar store or maybe like a Hallmark card store or something. And it's like a credit union, and there's a casino, and there's a spa. It's just so weird.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying this with any sympathy for the guy, like, but you're 77 years old, and like your legacy just turned inside out, like just like that, like just
oh yeah,
this thing that who knows how people, you know, we all do it in certain ways. You rationalize your behavior, you know, you rationalize bad choices. Who knows what he was like really thinking about what he was doing, but now it's like it's all. It's one of the first things anybody will remember about him, oh, if not the first.
100%. Yeah, yeah. I mean, so that's why, you know, again, the level to which they are able to seek out and prove his involvement, you know, what he's accused of right now does not indicate at all that he would have had any knowledge, and I don't know how you would ever even go about proving that he would have had knowledge of the depths, again, of the operation and just exactly what was going on there.
Well, you'd want to know, like, how does he get to this place?
Right, like, who suggests that to him? To become, like, a regular rotate? Like, is there a circuit of places that he partakes in this behavior, or is he just an exclusive client of this place?
They have him at this one location two times, and they say they have him on video.
Oh boy.
At this location two times. So one wonders, like, how did you get there? He would be driven there.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, what is he wearing when he goes from his car? You're driven there, you just pull right up. And you just jump out and jump in, right? You're like outside for 2 seconds.
Right.
But
sweatsuit.
A sweatsuit, a hat or something, sunglasses.
Yeah.
Like, are you in disguise from the get-go? Does the driver know where he's going? Like, what's going on here? I mean, I don't know anything. There's a lot I don't know here. The clientele of such a place is a 77-year-old guy with, like, super nice clothes or whatever it is that he gives off that, like, if you don't know who he is, you just have the sense, like, he's money. Does he stand out in a place like that, or are most people there like him?
I don't know. That is maybe the most curious thing about the story, is that someone with his resources, his wealth, is going to a strip mall sex slave place. It just doesn't really, like, I don't want to.
He has a house in the area.
Okay.
At least. He's not flying there for this.
Does that not... Oh, I mean, I don't know. Am I a horrible person if I assume that if someone of his means wants to partake in that sort of behavior, that he could order it brought to his home as opposed to having to drive to the strip mall sex spa place? Maybe I'm a horrible person for thinking that, but, like, I guess I would be revealing by saying this on the radio. People are listening, right?
Whatever, it's going to be against the law.
Right, but I think, like, that wealthy people would be able to do that sort of thing in the privacy of their own home if they so desire.
Well, isn't... Yeah, and I'm not too comfortable, like, diving into that.
No.
But, like, isn't there a thing where it's, like, a little bit dangerous and maybe even that the fact that it's seedy sort of appeals to you if you're a guy like this?
Maybe.
Who knows? I don't need to know the answers to some of these questions, and I doubt I'll ever know them, but wow, like, what a story. And Adam Schefter has that he's not the most famous person involved, and someone else who is more famous than Robert Kraft is going to get charged too. And, like, now this is right up my alley. Because I love to rank.
Right.
And I believe I remember reading that the police chief said it wasn't players. Like, Deadspin this morning had an article, why are they asking this sex ring, the officer at the sex ring press conference about football? Why are there these football questions before Kraft was
okay,
named? And so, like, they were smart. Somebody was smart about that. And I think I read that no athletes, but if we're staying in sports, and let's just say owners, right? Like, how many owners are more famous. Now, this is not, you know, maybe a great idea because now we're just going to start naming people. And are we going to like actually talk on the air about whether they could be the one?
Could you see him doing it?
Right? Could you see him doing it? Exactly.
I mean, I don't know really where to go right? there.
But he is most he is more famous than most owners.
That's right. If you let's
but not all.
Let's remove the accusation part and just. Okay, who's the most famous NFL owner?
Jerry Jones is the most famous
Jerry
NFL
Jones
owner.
Jerry Jones is the most famous NFL owner. After that, I think Kraft, because of the success of the Patriots, probably has the next highest profile in the league. I mean, there are other guys that you know their names, Bob McNair in Houston, Daniel Snyder in Washington.
Yeah, Snyder.
Right, but they don't outrank Kraft. I would say only Jones outranks Kraft within NFL ownership ranks, at least at first blush here. I'm prepared to listen to someone else, but I don't think there's another guy.
Yeah, like that Browns guy with the truck stop empire that is always like sort of being named in these messes. He's not, you know, you might wonder like if it's possible, but he's not more famous.
No,
he's not more famous.
No.
So, you know.
So if you're thinking about
who else are we talking about?
Owners
who else is in play?
To me, there's only one
coaches?
NFL owner.
If Jones.
If we're Jones.
Coaches?
Right. Are there any coaches that are more famous than Robert Kraft?
Many of them are, sure.
Yeah.
Including his own.
Okay, sure.
Don't
yeah.
you think?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so.
I'd agree with that.
Okay, I mean, we have to move on because
I don't know.
Remember, Schefter did not say that it was football related.
No,
that's right.
Just said it was someone more famous.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
Some people are more famous than Robert Kraft.
Sure.
So it's possible. You know, it's conceivable that there would be someone more famous.
Sure. Like
Yes. That's not hard to accept.
Do I want to start making a list of people more famous than Robert Kraft?
Yes.
Tiger Woods is more famous than Robert Kraft. The president is more famous than Robert Kraft.
Is there anyone in hockey?
I'm done. No.
Is there any single is Wayne Gretzky more famous than Robert Kraft?
No.
He's not?
No.
I think he is. I think he is.
Really? I don't think so.
I think everybody knows who Wayne Gretzky is. And not everybody could name the Patriots owner.
I really doubt that.
Okay, no web poll. Okay,
I thought about
no
it.
No web poll.
I got
who
to
is,
that too.
Who is more famous?
I did. When I saw the Schefter tweet about there's someone more famous that's involved, one thought I had was okay. Well, we're in the clear. Buffalo. Like Buffalo's in the clear. I don't have any.
No one in Buffalo
no
is
one
as
here
famous.
That is more like with ties to Buffalo that is more famous than Robert Kraft. I don't think.
What about Antonio Brown?
So I don't. Okay.
I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. So you think, all right, forget this. You think like what'll happen to him?
He'll get severely fined and suspended.
I read that 60 days in jail is possible
for
a first offender. 60 days.
Depending on how messy, and it has the potential to get all kinds of messy. There is a videotape.
Yeah, that's great to know.
Yeah.
Can we talk about that later?
Sure, or now. So everything gets worse with that.
What's the deal with the videotape? Is that like everybody's under surveillance at a place like this all the time?
Well, not all the time, but there was a sting operation is we think that there's something going on here, so we're working from the inside out, and that's how you come to end up on camera at a thing like that. Is the cops they're trying to build a case.
So it's the feds who make the video?
Yes.
Or take the video?
It's
not just like security cameras or something?
No, I don't think so.
Or whatever kind of cameras?
I mean, places like that probably have security cameras, but I would think... So maybe the security cameras just are confiscated in a raid? I mean, I don't know. I don't know the details. But you... the video part of it, I mean, I don't know that that'll ever surface, but it seems like everything eventually does. And so everything gets that much worse when there's video, even though you can read the details of this story so far and be completely and utterly grossed out. Still, seeing video would make it that much worse.
I don't really want to.
No, me either.
I'll just trust you on that. I'll trust that there's a video.
I would predict, at the very least, we're talking seven-figure fines and suspension from being at games.
What is that?
Multiple games.
What is that worth? Is there anything football could do that would matter?
Force his family to sell the team. But I think that is Robert Kraft is not only
he's
a ringleader. He's the leader. Like he was involved in the trafficking or something really, really, I mean, just super much more gross than even what he's being accused of now.
And he's friends with the president. They live, like, Mar-a-Lago is kind of close to this, and he goes there, and they hang out there, and, like, he's described as that they're friends.
Okay.
So he'll just probably, if he gets in any trouble, can't the president just undo it?
Sure.
Like that guy in Arizona?
Probably, yeah.
Just, you know, whatever.
Right.
Pardon, fine, don't worry about it. Yeah. Something like that.
But the league...
That's down the road a little bit.
The league will do something, I think, severe, just off what is already being reported. You know, but yeah, what does that really mean? If Robert Kraft can't sit in his box and watch 6 football games this year, what impact does it have on the New England Patriots? I don't know. It's embarrassing for him, and it's embarrassing for the league. And if it were to get embarrassing enough, then maybe they could pressure him to turn over the team to his son and just sort of back out of the picture. I mean, they have wedged people out before. The owner of the Carolina Panthers was forced to sell because of sexual misconduct in the workplace. And, like, that sounds I'm not super familiar with the details in that case, but if that was, like, years of inappropriate and threatening behavior that led the league to pushing him out. And what I've got with Robert Kraft is him, you know, soliciting prostitution. I don't know that those are equitable offenses.
Here's a punishment idea. Move divisions. I mean, you'd rather have that than
sure.
A fine.
Sure.
A meaningless fine or suspension.
Right.
The owner. Who even knows whether owners are at games? I mean, just what difference does it make? So I'm throwing that out there. Move divisions. All road games. Something like that. That's something, really, this could actually work out for them. Everything does. Because there are only certain things that they have never done, have not accomplished. So if they had some clever, weird punishment where, like, their team still won the Super Bowl.
Anyways, yeah.
Yeah, go ahead. Let's try that. They had their first round pick taken from them, and that didn't slow them down too much.
Right. The money. I mean, how much money can you find the Patriots and or Robert Kraft and have it hurt? $2 billion?
Who knows?
Like, they're not going to fine him $2 billion, but like, what amount of money has some impact?
Does football care to have $2 billion? Like, what do they need that for?
Right.
Brady was suspended for a quarter of a season. That didn't mean anything.
No, as it turned out, no.
It's embarrassing for the guy, probably rightly. And it's just an awful story to think about. Like, these lives that these women have to... Oh, how gross is that? I mean, like... We'll see. Like, they'll be... Especially if, like, another famous person or more famous people are named here, then this one will be around for a little while. And you'll learn. We'll learn more about, like, what these people's lives were like.
Ooh.
And shedding light on that will hopefully be a positive, you know? Like, awareness of that will hopefully have some positive effect on society. But, you know, I want to make fun of the Patriots. This guy, like, whatever credit he deserves, he certainly gets and more. But what a lucky roll of the dice, you know? His whole life. But then this part, too, New England. Like, that. What a just a lucky, good. What good fortune. I don't know if any other owners are good people or bad people or anything, and I really don't like the idea of sitting here, sitting in judgment of that so much. But, you know, you get a situation where you can't win ever, no matter what you do, and then there's a guy that can't lose. So, you know, it's satisfying for people to see the guy who can't lose get beat and screw up. And so I just don't want to, like, ignore that. I don't sound too too official or proper about this. I mean, it's a terrible story. But if you're taking some pleasure in that it happened to New England.
Well, if someone was going to get caught up in something like this, I'm glad it was him. How's that? Is that okay? Like, I mean,
poor Joe, his whole life.
This, you know.
His whole life is losing to New England. He doesn't even know another life than that, this guy.
They beat him that one time in 2011.
They beat him one time.
It was tons of fun.
In 20 years. I mean, he had one meaningful win. It was in week 3.
I wanted to rip the goalpost down. I wanted to be on the
field. You were in
the
crowd, right?
Yes. I wanted to be on the field.
Was there any talk about doing that? Like, were people sort of...
There was chatter, but nobody really
was that close to happening?
Nobody made a move.
Yeah.
Nobody made a move.
Take some initiative. Be a leader.
Mm-hmm. How bad would that have been?
I was a little young to lead 70,000 people out to rip down some goalposts.
Right. I'm sorry. It's 2011, so you were what?
I would have been 15.
Okay. Yeah.
How bad is that if you're tearing the goalpost down game 3? I mean, that's like calling first in the league in November an accomplishment.
What I do remember is while I think Fred and somebody else were running around on the field after the game with flags.
Yeah, yeah.
There were staff members of the team that were taking down the posts proactively
to make sure that
that's what
the
you
fans
could do.
Wouldn't get the idea to go do
right.
it themselves.
So they that did get taken do. Down. It was just in a more official manner.
Right. Yeah.
All right. So is that what we have on Robert Kraft?
That's it. That's all I got.
At least it's the beginning of it. Right. At least it's some of what we have on Robert Kraft. Maybe there'll be more news throughout the day, but we don't know yet. We'll do some hockey today. Matt Larkin from the Hockey News is coming on. We'll talk trade deadline and free agency and the Sabres, who lost in a shootout last night in Tampa. And Matt Duchene was traded on the pregame show last night. The Sabres were mentioned as a possibility for Matt Duchene before we got back on the air the next day. He was already traded to Columbus, and that's interesting. What Columbus is doing, like if they're the team, people that have hopes for the Sabres, like they might be the team.
Mm-hmm.
I think they would be the team that would win in a poll of like who will lose their spot if the Sabres were to make it. But like a severe change of direction, it seems like, from what we were expecting from Columbus. So we'll have that today and some other fun stuff. 803-0550 is our number. Highly unlikely we take a phone call on Robert Kraft. Extremely unlikely that happens, but you know, whatever. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. This is WGR.
Robert Kraft, the owner of the New England Patriots?
Yes, sir.
And what is he being charged with?
He's being charged with the same offenses as the others, and that is soliciting another to commit prostitution.
And how many accounts may he face?
Right now we have 2.
So that would be 2 separate incidences or visits to the Orchids of Asia Day Spa, or 1 visit with multiple charges from that 1 visit?
2 different visits.
Oh, that's a good Q&A right there, I thought. Whoever that reporter is, like, asking sharp questions that have answers. That's a way to do it. Daniel Kerr is the officer's name who is answering the questions. Robert Kraft. Busted. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. The Sabres are off today. They play home to Washington tomorrow afternoon. And then it's Monday at Toronto and Tuesday at Philly. All right, this is kind of interesting. I mean, they're behind now.
Yeah.
And it would take whatever it is, you know, probably better than 2 wins out of 3 the rest of the way to get close. But you're playing good teams here, including last night. And last night wasn't so bad. They lost.
No, last night was an enjoyable watch. I mean, it was, you know, you didn't have a lot of scoring, but you had good chances. And I think a very entertaining, exciting hockey game. It was a little nasty at times, which can add to it. You know, it's not something that we focus on very much anymore, but there was some, you know, there was some bad blood there. Skinner and Point, you had Ristolainen and Kucherov going most of the night, even. So yeah, it was not like at all like what you saw the previous three games, which were just walkovers. You know, they did a good job.
So they're 6 points back of Carolina at the moment for the last playoff spot with one game in hand. Columbus is 5 points ahead of the Sabres. They are out of a spot at the moment. They have a game in hand on Buffalo. Still a quarter of the season left, a little more than that. Columbus trades for Matt Duchene. They play in Ottawa tonight.
Right. Duchene is going to play.
He'll play against Ottawa tonight.
Right. There is still some question. I think they play at home tomorrow night. I forget against who, but I saw that their GM said because of visa issues, they're not sure that he can play as part of the Columbus organization tomorrow in America. But because this game's in Canada tonight, he's going to play for Columbus in Canada.
All right.
So anyway. What's
that like to go to this game, like if that's us?
Ooh.
You know? I mean, Duchene was not, he's not Carlson. He was not there for a long time.
No, no.
Almost right. As soon as they got him, it was, okay, you're probably going to trade him.
Why did we do this?
Kind of.
Yeah.
But it'd be, the way we are, I mean, it would be kind of an ugly feeling about the home team.
Yes.
And so now he's traded to a team that you're playing that night. It's kind of weird.
Yes, it is.
You know, there could be bags on heads.
Yeah. Yeah, or jerseys thrown on the ice, right. Or like whatever.
Whatever the tradition is.
It probably will be pretty, because Ottawa is, man, I mean, it's just such a weird place that they're in. Like the organization is so, it seems so messed up. There's this arena business going on, and like last year the owner talked about moving right on, like as they were getting ready to play an outdoor game. I mean, they are just, they're messy. But there are, we talked this week with, I forget who, was it Luke Fox just yesterday? That, like, they've got some good young players there that, like, if they could have kept Duchene and Stone and Dzingel, now, they may still, I mean, so far they've traded Duchene. The expectation is they're going to trade those other guys. They're not that bereft of hope and young, good players. It's just guys don't want to be there. And if they have a chance to leave, it seems they're going to leave. And that makes it that much harder to imagine them ever really getting it all together. So, like, their end of it is messed up. Columbus is the really interesting part of this. Because I read Matt Larkin, we're going to have on in about 25 minutes, 30 minutes here. Not only do you get Duchene off the market before the deadline on Monday, he's traded, but maybe this is a sign that Columbus isn't trading Panarin, and therefore another really hot commodity is off the market. I mean, I guess I would say on the surface, it wouldn't make a lot of sense to trade for Duchene to rent him and then trade Panarin. Like, if you're not worried about a guy leaving and you're giving up assets to bring a guy in that's going to leave anyway, I don't know that you're going to trade Panarin now. I think what you're doing is you're trying to be as good as you can be and just going for it. So that's pretty interesting, Columbus, right now.
It certainly would be if that's what they do. I mean, there could be an opportunity to trade Panarin that would work for them. And that could be for, like, Huberto was mentioned. And that could, if something like that comes up and you keep the player, then you do that. You might think, too, maybe your plan now is to keep them. You might think that if you trade them, you just have a sort of a happier situation than, you know, if there's a lot of pressure on them if he's still there, if they don't move him. And I don't know what it's like in there. Like, maybe it's a thing where he's just upset because he didn't get moved or something. The goalie, too. I don't know. Whatever. We'll see what happens.
I guess
it's pretty
good.
You
could, if you're Columbus, say, this allows us to trade Panarin and still keep going this year. But I don't know that it makes sense to give up a first-round pick and two. The prospects are sort of mid. They're not real high-tier prospects, so I don't know how big of a deal that really is. I guess I would predict they're keeping Panarin now. But in lieu of like Huberto, like then that's fine. Then I'm still going for it. But if it were for futures, you know, if you traded Panarin away for picks and 20-year-olds, then there's no replacing him. But Huberdeau would certainly, you know, reasonably replace him.
I wish it were our team because it'd be great to talk about.
Yeah.
Like, can you respect Columbus here? I decided when – I think it was when the Sabres were playing there out of the All-Star break that, okay, so what should happen here? And everybody made arguments. I'm like, you know what? They really should move the player. They really should just end it. And I know that they've never won a series, but really, you can't get stuck there. But that doesn't have to be right. I mean, we wouldn't know what they could get for him. You know, if it's a first round pick and a prospect or something, I don't know how great that is necessarily. Mm-hmm. It depends on who the team is. You know, it can feel good. Like the Sabres with Kane, maybe, or O'Reilly, you feel like you've done something good because you just didn't have the guy walk away for nothing. We've had that happen too, and that's bad. Right. But how much it actually helps you, I don't know. It's debatable. So I think trading him is probably the right play. This is before today. But they've never won a series, and that just complicates it or changes it. That's a defining factor, or can be, in that process, is that they have never even won a round. And can they win rounds? Sure. I mean, it's been Pittsburgh and Washington in that division. The Islanders have had, you know, a series win or two, maybe, whatever, in the last 10 years. Philadelphia. But really, Pittsburgh has ruled it. Washington has ruled regular season, and those teams have often played. Last year, Columbus was ahead of Washington 2-0 on the road in the first round, and Washington won the Stanley Cup because hockey.
Mm-hmm.
Because better Washington teams lost, and this lesser Washington team decided they got down 2 games in the first round, changed their goalie, and won it all. So Columbus looks at the Capitals, who they can play with. They look at the Islanders, who they would probably think, like, all the teams are going to feel like they can beat the Islanders.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Pittsburgh isn't so good. Columbus, I think, it would be reasonable for them to think, like, we can win 2 rounds.
In a certain way, I am envious of them. Because even if I would tell you trading the players about to become unrestricted free agents is the smart play, I know this. Last night, you mentioned it already during the pregame show, suddenly there was Buffalo mentioned as potentially being in on Duchesne. So I left here last night thinking about that. And, like, is Ristolainen that? Does that fit, or do they want cheap and young, but barely even in the league yet? Like, just wheels turning in my head, but just thinking, go ahead and do that. You can afford to sign Duchesne if you want to, and maybe you make this trade and give up a lot because you either think you can or know you can. And that was really exciting to me. Like, this is not my favorite player in the league or anything, but this is a productive player. He's a good player. So if Buffalo were doing that, not just to try to boost this season, because this season feels pretty late for a boost. That's not to say that it couldn't help. It almost certainly would help, but just how much is debatable. But for the long run, for the future, that would be a power move. That would be we're trying to jump some spots here. We have a need. Yes, we are liking Casey Mittelstadt, but this guy is already, like, he's been as good as we hope Mittelstadt will ever be so far. And let's just go do that. And if Mittelstadt continues to develop, then we're that much better. Because it's going to take, you know, you got to have a deep team. Look at Tampa. I mean, they're just stacked. So I liked sitting with that last night. And by this morning, it was over. He was on Columbus by the time I really got to thinking about work today. So I didn't have that much time with it. So in that way, I am jealous of Columbus that they did it. And, you know, whether they end up keeping the guy or not, they're at least trying to respect accomplishing something this year. Whereas the Sabre GM told you on Wednesday, you know, this is fine, basically. He's the dog with the cup of coffee in the burning room. Like, no, this is good. It really, it's progress.
The Blue Jackets are not more famous than Robert Kraft. The organization is less famous than Robert Kraft.
Right. The Union Army, the Blue Jackets, maybe. more famous than Robert Kraft. But like the team, the NHL franchise, no.
No, I think more people know who Robert Kraft is than know who the Columbus Blue Jackets are. You agree?
Yes.
You know, a few people have tweeted at me or us, other people who are more famous than Robert Kraft. And I'll just say that I've read them. There's not going to be a debate, at least for too long in here, about them. Or a poll or anything like that. But I've read them. I'm not liking them. I really don't want to like. I don't want to stamp them, you know. But I do like them. Some of them. In a sense, I do like them.
Yeah. I get you.
I do like them. I'm just not liking them.
Uh-huh. Publicly.
That's what we have here.
Yeah. In your heart, you're liking
them. I'm enjoying the speculation.
Yeah. Wayne Gretzky is way more famous than Kraft.
I think so. Are we talking like North America or just U.S.? I don't know, but I think Wayne Gretzky's a more recognizable name.
I don't think it matters where you go. I think he's more recognizable.
Everywhere?
Everywhere. Even Boston.
Wow. I just don't agree. It's still hockey. You know? Like, you're talking about the owner of the greatest franchise of your lifetime versus a guy that played hockey at 20 years ago.
But it's like the most famous person in hockey ever versus what, the 200th most famous person related to football?
We are talking about Wayne Gretzky just randomly here. There's no
he's not tied into this.
Yes. We're just wondering who is more famous and who is not more famous.
Yeah. Thank you for clarifying that.
Gretzky is hockey. And when he was in his prime, people cared about hockey. In places that weren't just hockey hotbeds. 80s and 90s, mm-hmm. hockey was way bigger, I think, like pop culture-wise.
I agree.
And he was easily the most famous guy.
But that was the 80s and the 90s. It's 2019. And
it is.
I mean, what's he up to? What's he doing? Where is he?
I think my kids know who he is.
Yeah.
They don't know who Robert Kraft is. They might now.
Yeah.
Not for me. It's not like I'm going to go home and tell them about this story.
Right. Okay. Yeah, good. Okay.
I don't think my son knows the owner of the Patriots by name, but I think he knows who Wayne Gretzky is.
Does he know him as the Coyotes head coach?
No, he does not. No, just a famous hockey player. Right. Like the greatest hockey player.
Does he know him for not getting a chance in the shootout against Dom in 98?
Nope. No. I don't think he knows that.
Okay.
He did a report on Canada, and he had a line in it about Gretzky, I'm now remembering, about how he was known for being a good sport. Is that true?
Sure.
He was a good sport?
Sure, yeah. He probably won the Lady Bing 12 times or something.
Did he?
I don't know. It just seems like... You go to his Wikipedia page, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a bunch of those there, and you just don't even bother looking at them because they're outweighed by all the Hart trophies.
Mm-hmm. Could be.
And the Cups.
We'll have more hockey with Matt Larkin of the Hockey News, appropriately, coming up at 4 today. 803-0550 is our number. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
We have an opportunity for a couple of listeners, actually. We've got two pair of tickets right now to go check out Nick Mason, Saucer Full of Secrets, Tuesday, April 11th at 7:30 p.m., Shea's Performing Arts Center. Downtown Buffalo, minimum value of this prize is $100. It's courtesy of our friends at Live Nation. General contest rules apply. Don't miss Nick Mason, the original drummer from Pink Floyd. Tickets and info at shays.org. Two pair, callers 5 and 6 right now, 644-9878. Takes them.
Do you know how Robert Kraft made his money?
Exploiting the poor.
It's a logical guess.
Macaroni and cheese.
He invented macaroni and cheese. That's right. Joe happens to know. He invented macaroni and cheese.
Well, then I owe
Kraft
him.
Kraft macaroni and cheese.
Then I and many others owe him a debt of gratitude then.
The box macaroni and cheese.
Box macaroni and cheese. Not kidding you.
It's terrible.
My family, whatever.
It's not terrible.
It's not good for you, but it's not terrible. My family is out and about. I don't know if they're going to be home for dinner or not. I didn't really press for details. But I looked before I left. I thought, dinner? And I looked in the cupboard. Okay.
You're fine because you have Kraft macaroni and cheese.
Macaroni and cheese. There's probably some hot dogs I can just chop up, throw in there. I'm good to go.
You're right.
Throw a little hot sauce in there.
In a pinch, I'm all set.
Oh, yeah. Even a little barbecue sauce. Just a little drop of barbecue sauce.
Like
mix it in there.
I like the hot sauce. I've never gone barbecue sauce, but that makes sense.
You got great way to do this. If you got any leftover chicken fingers in the fridge ever, from anything,
yeah.
Chop them up, throw them in there, a little barbecue sauce. Delicious.
Have you ever gone can of tuna fish in the macaroni and cheese?
No, and I couldn't imagine I'd ever want to.
Oh, it's really good. It's really good. You got to put the tuna in after the macaroni and cheese is all mixed up, though. Because if you put the tuna in with the cheese and the butter, like the powdered cheese mix. Right. Doesn't it sound healthy?
Yum.
The tuna absorbs all of the powdered cheese, and then you end up with the new. So you got to time it right. You got to put the tuna in after the mac and cheese is all mixed up already. But it's delicious.
Just tuning in, we're talking about Robert Kraft here on WGR. He was charged in a prostitution ring. Human trafficking.
Yeah, it's
human
worse.
Trafficking.
It's sex slave ring.
We don't know, like you said, we don't know what he knew.
Right.
But we know what he's charged with, and that's illegal. And they say they have him on video getting service.
And
services.
They have him on video on two separate occasions visiting this place.
So actually, it's not macaroni and cheese. I was just kidding. He actually did not make his money through that. He might like it, but he didn't make his money that way. I'll just read from Wikipedia rather than try to put it in my own words. He began his professional career with the Rand Whitney Group, a Worcester, Massachusetts-based packaging company run by his father-in-law. In 1968, so he's 77, like that's 51 years ago. At 26, he gained control of the company through a leveraged buyout. He still serves as the company's chairman. In 1972, he founded International Forest Products, a trader of physical paper commodities. The two combined companies make up the largest privately held paper and packaging companies in the country. 1972. 68. Man. You guys had a run.
Yeah.
Just like the Patriots. It's a long run, and that's a long run within a long run.
Trying to imagine him like in some, I don't know, 300,000 square foot mansion in like underwear and a robe making macaroni and cheese.
Oh, well.
Standing there at the stove at 2 in the morning, just had a little too much wine, just mixing up some mac and cheese.
His first entry into sports was to buy with five others the Boston Lobsters of World Team Tennis.
Wow.
In 1974, he bought a World Team Tennis organization, and they had Martina Navratilova on their team in 74. But after 1978, he announced the franchise would fold, and the league itself soon thereafter folded. Okay. Is he more famous than Martina Navratilova?
No.
No.
So I think I'm telling you, I think Martina Navratilova is more famous than Gretzky.
I don't think so.
No.
I think I might say yes to Kraft over Navratilova. Who is more famous?
I still think Kraft is more famous than Gretzky. But I'm in the minority.
You're alone on that.
I am alone. I'm a lone wolf on that.
Matt Larkin from the Hockey News coming up.
We'll ask him about this.
Columbus Ottawa trade, the Sabres future, and more NHL stuff with Matt after the timeout and the update. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.